Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them.
We call it the Martini Scale.
Well, she put her chapstick on. She's ready.
She put her chapstick on. She's ready. I feel like that's the intro. I'm not even going to count down into the intro today. We're just going to... Why did you put chapstick on to record a podcast?
Because I always put chapstick on. I always do.
You never notice her doing it.
I've never seen her do that before, no.
Don't you remember the one episode where I changed my lipstick three times?
I do remember that one, actually.
Yeah.
Of all the years that I've known you.
And then she sits like this.
I'm ready.
Wow.
Yes.
So I have a question. Does the chapstick make you feel... like Wonder Woman?
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I don't like having dry lips. I'm sorry, I don't like it.
So
okay,
why
are your lips so dry? It's just like, she doesn't like normal lips. Like just, have to be slick and slickery all the time.
I think I've been pretty blessed in that my lips are naturally, I'm sorry to use this word. I hate to use this word.
Naturally moist.
Yes. But like chapstick disgusts me. In fact, if I'm kissing someone that has chapstick on their lips, I'm like I do the gag a little bit. Like
really?
I don't like that feeling. I don't like it's like a fake, lubricant on your lips. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of that.
Interesting. So you don't like fake lubricants?
I don't, no. But I also don't like kissing lips that have lipstick on them. So maybe I'm just... No offense. I know, but I'm just saying that like anything weird,
Vaseline,
anything that is not natural on lips is not attractive to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Well, and what a way to start this episode.
I was going
to
say, hey, and let's just dive right in. I don't think this is what people tune in for. All right. So we're talking about Wonder Woman and 1984. I'm sorry. And like, I have to say that I think this is one of the fastest turnarounds we've ever done in 2020. On like a movie comes out and we're recording the episode.
What about Tenet? We did that pretty, that was pretty quick.
Kind of. I feel like Tenet, we waited a few extra days.
We needed time to think about that one.
It was like 2 days.
It came out on Monday and we recorded on Sunday. So no, that is not true. I know it's felt like a long time, Natalie, since you last saw me, but-
I don't remember.
I know. Just blacked out drunk. All right, Wonder Woman 1984 is a 2020 superhero film based on the DC Comics character-
Wonder Woman?
There we go. It is the sequel to 2017's Wonder Woman and the 9th installment of the DC Extended Universe. The film is directed by Patty Jenkins from a script she wrote with Jeff Johns, David Callum, and it's based on a story by Johns and Jenkins. Gal Gadot stars as Diana Prince / Wonder Woman alongside Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, Pedro Pascal, Robin Wright, and Connie Nielsen. It is set in 1984 during the Cold War. The film follows Diana and her past love, Steve Trevor, as they face off against Maxwell Lord and Cheetah. So I think one of the most glaringly obvious things I think we have to start with here, and I know that this is I see there's some trivia in the notes and I'm excited to let you guys talk about the trivia, but I think one of the we talked a little bit last time about the HBO Max in 2021 is going to be distributing all of the major Warner Brothers films on their platform over the next year, and this is actually the first one of those.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I know we're going to talk about the film like in general in a minute, but what did you guys think in terms of this being kind of like the way to kick that off?
I'm all for this. Yeah. I was so excited and been waiting to see this in general before the pandemic and everything. And the fact that I can like watch it when I want to watch it and watch it when it comes out at home and like just prepared for it. I was all for it. I was so excited.
Yeah. Same. Natalie.
You know, we've talked at length about this sort of release pattern and schedule and, you know, platform on the Tenet episode. And one of the things that I realized we did not talk about, which was, I think, such an important point to seeing a movie in a theater, is the audience interaction and experience you have while in the theater with 100, 150 other people.
Yeah.
And Lena, what were we watching that reminded me of that right before we started Wonder Woman?
We were watching Wonder Woman.
No, there was some moment where it was like a movie we had seen that just like it didn't feel as impactful because you're like normally like everybody's screaming and cheering and so excited. Fuck, I can't remember what it was, but it was like that.
Independence Day.
Exactly. And it's like reminded me of like how fun it is to see a movie in the theater with a group of people and the reactions that they have to the movie. Like you like laughing with them,
energy,
you like screaming with them and applauding with them. And it's like the successes and celebrations feel so much more impactful. And those wins are just like, yeah, like you feel like you're part of the group.
Yeah.
And so yes, when you're watching this stuff at home, these moments of like, and I think it even with scary movies where like other people scream and then you screamed and you're like laughing because you're like, oh my God, we're so dumb. Like, I can't believe that's good. You know, that's such an amazing experience. So it's like, you don't have those in this.
Like a humanity, right?
Yeah.
Like
so
share that with other humans.
Communal experience, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a bummer to not have that with these movies that I think there are those like cheer moments or whatever. Like there's kind of movies that are meant to like be really enhanced by that audience experience.
Yeah.
Regardless of that. It was fun to be able to see like a big blockbuster at home for the very first time and not have to go see it in a theater, you know, like, yeah, there is something very comforting about not having to leave your home, you know? So,
yeah, I think there's
Go ahead. I was saying, I do feel like we could have made that better. And I am going to do this moving forward in 2021, since we probably won't be going to the movies for a while. We should have like, had the popcorn ready and had like a snack ready and like place it all out. So we didn't have to like go and like, and have that extra feeling of like, we are in a movie theater, you know, like, or trying to make it like as close to that as possible.
Yeah. I think, so one thing I want to say is that it's actually been really fun to get to see two huge 2020 blockbusters back to back within like a few days of each other.
Yeah.
That's definitely been a huge treat. And I think for me, to your last point, Lena, I'm making it a more intentional experience when I watch movies right now. Especially if it's not necessarily something that's on Netflix, but like a movie that I'm watching for the first time that I'm really excited about. I actually like, I'm trying to watch it like in the evening. Right. So it's like dark and I got like the full effect. And then I make sure that my phone is on the other side of the room on silent because I don't want to be distracted by, you know, Natalie looking at the Instagram and, you know, I've been in the theater with you too before where you pull out your phone and text. Like I know how this works, but as much as I miss that experience, I'm very much trying to, you know, be very intentional with like, okay, I'm going to watch this and respect it. And then, my only challenge is like, I try to take notes for, you know, our show when we're doing an episode on it. And I did find myself like kind of halfway through this one, like going over and jotting down some things because I did want to like not forget stuff and I didn't really want to watch it again.
There's this like crazy thing called a pen and paper that people used to use back in the day.
You can
physically write down your
thoughts. I mean, I just told you that I'm sitting in the dark, so jotting something down on a notepad in the dark is probably not conducive to what I'm trying to accomplish, but thank you for that feedback. Anyway,
I like at the end of Wonder Woman, I was like, okay, I think we did a good job of like paying attention, being fully in it, not really getting up and doing anything, not being on our phone. And then I realized I left the lamp next to me on the entire time. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I really wish I had like
a Christmas trees on still. And
yeah, I was just like, shoot, I really wish I'd made it like more dark, you know, and whatever.
Well, we can get into it later, but like, even for you, you were saying something, maybe it was a show we were watching, something about the music. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was another movie.
I don't listen to the music. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't listen to any of that stuff.
So Lena, what trivia do you have for us this week?
So the trivia I have, well, I'll start off by saying that the villain role of Cheetah was originally offered to Emma Stone. Interesting, right?
I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been really interesting.
But she declined. I wonder why she declined.
She wanted to be the star.
Was she doing something else, or does she not want to be in a superhero movie? Who knows?
I think she wants to be the star.
She wants to be the star. I can see that.
And I don't
blame
her.
It was offered to Kristen Wiig as Patty Jenkins' first choice, but Sarah Paulson, my favorite person. publicly stated that she wanted to be Cheetah. And I'm like, no, you can't do anything. Go away. Stay in Ryan Murphy's world. Don't come in any other world. We don't need to see you. I have a major problem if they would have put her in this movie. I would have had a major issue.
That's really interesting. I mean, listen,
There's no way she could have pulled that off.
I think she probably could have done it, but here's the thing. I've seen enough of her. Like, I don't need her to literally be in everything.
Exactly. I don't need to see her at all. Yeah. I thought, actually, Kristen was fine. I have things, but we can talk about that later. Anyways, so there was also this kind of weird talk about how they wanted to introduce some Diana as, like, some sort of, like, bisexual or... Ooh. Lesbian type thing in this new one.
Oh.
And I guess Gal wanted to have Halle Berry play the love interest.
I could see that.
So instead of the handsome man, I think that they were thinking that would be Halle Berry. Huh. And then, you know, it would change, you know, spoiler alert, sorry, Steve or whatever, but then it would go back to being her. I don't know.
I feel like I would have, as much as I would have loved that, I feel like they would have done a very, like, big budget Hollywood skate around the fact that they're lovers and have it, you know what I mean? And be like, I would love to see that. I just don't think they would have done it justice.
I like how it could be. Now, I don't like the Halle Berry pick personally.
Oh, I do. I love Halle Berry.
But I think that having that person, because I think it was a surprise that he had turned into Steve. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that it could have just been like a person that she was like, you know, how she met the guy, like randomly, or, oh no, actually he was stalking her. But anyway, like it could have just been anybody. And I feel like she didn't realize who that person was. And then it being Steve changed it. And then at the end to go back and think like, oh, maybe I should hang out with this person because they are kind of cool. I don't know. I do find that would have been interesting. And I don't think they needed to skate around it because there wasn't a lot of interaction with them anyways.
Yeah, supposedly. That's fair. Okay, so there will be definitely be spoils. We've already kind of spoiled a little bit, but there will be spoils if you've never listened to our show before. There are always spoilers in these episodes. So watch the movie if you want to and you haven't yet. On that note, Natalie, what are we drinking? I see Lena Gagne.
I'm almost done.
First I was thinking, oh, she should have a refill of this. And then I started drinking and I was like, I'm wasted.
I mean, I actually do. And I'll probably have to go get some at some point. but this is the WW Teeny. And that is the Wonder Woman Martini. Mm-hmm. And it is a gold martini with a red rim. And I tried to create a little lasso out of the lemon peel.
Oh, I see what you did.
Mine
there.
Kind of unraveled a bit.
A little bit.
As a stirrer.
Okay, there we go.
I wanted to see the sparkles move more.
Yeah.
So a little spoon.
A little gold dust, pineapple juice, little vodka.
I'm a shit in gold.
It's not as bad as the last time I used it. That was like we were drinking a gold Burk that had been melted. That was pretty bad.
I remember. I remember that. Yeah. Those are the good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of using her colors a little bit there.
Very pretty.
I was going to do like a coffee and Pop-Tarts one, but then I was just like,
oh, that would have been cute.
But it's like, I was like, well, we didn't cover Wonder Woman, the first one, on our show.
Yeah.
I don't think we did. No. So I never made a Wonder Woman martini. So I was like, I feel like I should do one to like honor the franchise.
And I love the gold. Like,
yeah, it looks really pretty.
Really pretty.
I'm excited to see the picture that you took of it on social this week.
Cute. But it's very strong and I think it's powerful and it might make you fly. So, you know, there you go.
All right.
And then I thought also, because we haven't done this in a long time, but just in case anybody is like coming into our podcast pretty new and they haven't listened to a lot of other podcasts, I felt like we should do like a refresher of like what the like rating system is that we'd use.
Oh, we should. Because
I feel we haven't talked about that. Because I'm like, I feel like we haven't mentioned that in a long time when we just rate movies. And I wonder if people are like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Oh, do it. Yes, we should totally say that.
Well, it does say that in our intro. If you listen to the intro of our show, which I know that we've never heard in a long time.
I know. Yes, but just, you know, just
tell
in
us,
case.
Natalie, tell us, what is
just
it?
Just in case. Scale? It is a martini scale. and it's a reverse star system. So do not think if we're rating a movie of one martini that it's terrible. It is a great movie and you only need one martini to sit through it. And if you need to be totally drunk and black out, that would be five martinis. And that is the worst movie.
And to elaborate on that a little bit, I think like one martini is like the perfect buzz, right? So that's like, yeah, you know, it's like the perfect way to watch a film essentially.
Exactly. Or so especially if it's as strong as this one.
Oof. My Ooh. God.
Well, yeah. I think we should dive in and discuss some things. I did want to say first that speaking to your trivia, Lena, about mm-hmm. the Halle Berry piece of trivia in particular, mm-hmm. I was just thinking the whole time, I'm so glad that the lesbians finally have a superhero.
Oh,
I
don't
felt
they with
but Captain, they have Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, yeah, it's true. Maybe she's a little more lesbianish. I don't know. I think
she's way
she's
more,
a lot
lesbian.
More lesbianish.
I felt like living in the. So I actually had not seen the first one. So I went back last few days ago and I watched the first one.
I was going to ask but you hadn't seen it ever.
I had never seen
your,
it.
What your thoughts were?
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
And I'm so. Glad. That one was like definitely like very lesbian centric. I felt like it was the definitely felt like I was watching a movie for the ladies. I don't know. Just that whole,
I felt it to be so strong and women power and
maybe
that slow-mo stuff that happened. It was like, ugh. It energized my body. I was like, yes, get it, girl.
Interesting. I'm speaking yeah. more of like the, just where they live in the
yes, I see
universe in the beginning. And it's all ladies loving ladies. And I just, it's a great,
well, it's ladies supporting ladies.
There we go.
Yeah.
And loving a little, I'm guessing.
Well, yes, so. We love each other. But
well,
like,
no, I think some of them are probably loving each other. I mean, if 10% of the population is gay, then, you know, okay, you've got 10% yes. of those ladies are
no
loving other
there.
Ladies.
There's,
there you go.
Yeah, there's some there. And those ladies are lucky.
There you go. I mean, statistically, I've heard that lesbian sex is statistically more gratifying. But I guess we could talk about that on another episode.
I've heard the same.
Anyway, so I thought that that was, I have a lot of lesbian friends that like this character a lot. And I just think that it's, you know, it's perfectly fitting and it's great. I also,
because she's fucking gorgeous.
I mean, Gal Gadot is
very
stunning. She is
very
stunning.
Easy to watch.
Ugh. Yeah, she is very stunning. Definitely.
Like you haven't seen you didn't see the first one, but like, I think she, this one compared to the first one, she is exponentially better in this one. Like I just like, she is now completely Wonder Woman to me. She embodies everything.
Yeah.
She's stunning. I just can't stop looking at her.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, I had never seen the original and I watched it a few days prior. And I thought that the war element in the first one was just like far too prominent in terms of the plot. And it kind of had me disinterested. So I think this one, they were able to kind of like, I don't know. You understood that like the world was in jeopardy as it were, but it wasn't like as drawn out as it felt like it was in the first one. So I appreciated, I think this one a lot more in the sense that the pacing just felt a little faster, even though it was probably about 40 minutes too long. But the first one just felt like it went on and on and on and on. Like I was like, okay, God, let's just end this already.
I feel like the first one and this one are completely different.
In what sense? I mean, yes, they are a bit.
I feel, well, yes. But I feel like the first one was more of like, I don't know, like a story and like, I guess because you're just really first learning about her world and the world and what's going on and why they're fighting the fight that they're fighting.
Yeah.
And I like maybe like knowing more of that and like the superhero aspect was very new for her to be learning the whole time. In this one, you knew who she was and it just felt way more comic book. Like story in this one with the cheetah and with mm-hmm. thing and like, you know, whereas the first one, I felt like it was a little bit more of like, I don't want to say real, but like more real. Like it just felt like, okay, yeah, this person, he turned into a really bad man, but then of course, like, you know, he was a god or whatever, but like he can't, I don't know. I just felt like that story had a little bit more like realness to it. And this one was definitely like super comic book. I mean, I enjoyed it, but still. Yeah, more fantastical, yeah.
I will say, like, the discovery of, like, Steve seeing her powers and learning who she is yeah. and what she's capable of.
Fun, so
and
fun.
In the first one, that scene where she runs out into the battlefield, which is, I find, the only goosebumps. Moment of slow motion that is acceptable in that
That's
movie.
That's the one I was talking about.
It is so powerful that it makes up for a lot of other stuff in that movie. And there wasn't a moment quite like that in this movie. So, and I feel like it's kind of hard because it's like, yeah, this is the introduction of the character. Mm-hmm. You know, this is Steve's introduction into like who this woman actually is. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to like duplicate that in a second film, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to dive into it, it's just more, I feel like the continuation of their chemistry was so good. Really well done. Mm-hmm. Like, and that I think they realized was kind of their greatest strength from the first film was the two of them. And so
even they had to bring him back.
Yeah. Spoiler alert that he dies in the first. Quite
interesting how they brought him back.
I love how they brought him back. Yeah. And it's like, they really made them work as a team mm-hmm. and you got to see their chemistry through most of it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
totally.
I actually, speaking of casting, I feel like I understand that she had a very similar role in the first one, but I love Robin Wright so much, and it makes me so sad that she doesn't get to be in more of this.
Connie Nielsen, she's so beautiful.
I mean, Robin Wright in particular, I find her to be stunning. I think she's an amazing actor, and her role in these films is obviously very limited because it's kind of like. It's the what when she's obviously dead in the present day, but she takes place, right. you know, her character lived in the past with her and stuff. And so anyway, I love.
Didn't she die in the first
to
one?
See her. I thought she did. Yeah. But then I guess we're backtracking again at the beginning of this one.
Yeah.
I don't understand the reason for that. Like, just get into the movie. Like, I feel like that was a really big waste of time. And it was like an introduction into young Diana that we did not need. I feel like. Most people that are watching this movie probably have seen the first one.
I actually think, I was just going to say, I think it's in case you didn't see the first one. I think it's a nice, not even refresher. It just kind of brings you up to speed of who this character is and part of her origin story, I guess you could say. I didn't mind that.
Because of the cheating aspect, like how she took the shortcut and it's like, life lesson that is foreshadowing into the future.
I mean, that scene also was like visually, I think one of the more stunning scenes in the film, right? Like it's
whole world they created.
Totally. That's built for like a 4K, like perfect, gorgeous. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
CG. Yeah. But I didn't mind that. I really appreciate it.
I love it. I think it's so pretty.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And then we transition into, so I think one of the things I do want to talk about a little bit in this one is like the whole 80s vibe, because I loved how they played on a lot of it throughout the film. But I have to say my favorite part of it actually as a kid that like grew up in the 80s was the beginning with like the mall. They literally recreated this mall from the 80s. And I would write down
from Virginia, by the way. Okay,
right that down mall. To like Orange Julius, Lamp Plus, yes. Walden Books. Like I was just like, what is going on? Like this is like so fun.
But I feel like they dropped out of it though. Like they should have kept going with the 80s. Like keep it going. Like Cheetah's outfit. What is this outfit? It needed to be more 80s.
I don't know.
Bangles on her.
I think like you had the perfect amount of 80s in this. Like it was enough of a through line that I was reminded where I was the whole
Diana's
time.
Diana's outfits, beautiful as they were not 80s.
But Wonder Woman is very 80s in general, I feel like. So
no, but she could have been. And that's just me.
Yeah. Okay, to go back, because I thought about more stuff that I wanted to say about the beginning.
Uh-oh. Oh, Lord.
It's been however many years since the first one took place. To me, a more interesting story is like how she's been spending her time for the past 50 years. You know, like that to me would have been a more interesting, and you can tell stories or weave through some sort of life lessons through that and why she hasn't found anybody in 50 years. You know, to go back, I hate sequels that feel like, oh, this was successful, so we have to regurgitate the same version in the sequel. So it's like, okay, so the first one started in the Amazon with these women. So then we have to start this one. And it's like, you didn't do anything super new for me to feel like this was worth my time, you know? And I just feel like we could have learned other stuff in that time period, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I
feel like we need to revisit that world.
I kind of.
But how else do you get Robin Wright into the film unless you go back there?
And I think that her origin story is really important. This character in particular. I mean, all superheroes that's important.
We spent so much of it in the first one.
But there's I don't think we spent
dedicated to it.
Yeah, but I don't think we spent so much time on it in this one.
I don't think
that
it was so much time.
It was like 5 minutes. Actually, I take that back. It was literally the first 4 minutes because the HBO had the first 4 minutes on there for the first week or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't think 4 minutes is like an exorbitant amount of time that bothered
Clearly
me.
It stuck in your head because it was important and you keep
And I would also argue that if I'm going to edit time out of this movie, I will find 40 minutes elsewhere in this film that are not that. That I'll take
Kristen
out
Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, to touch on like Lena's point with Cheetah and Kristen Wiig's look, it's like I understand that the evolution of what her character's doing, and as she gets power and her wish comes true, it just like her look really bothered me, and I hate to be like superficial about it, but it's like, okay, I liked her like in the heels and that black dress when she's coming to the party. Her hair Beautiful. Was like a little bit out of control that I would have preferred. Like if she's wanting to look like Diana, she should have had like a really like 80s blowout that looks really glamorous, you know?
Yeah.
But she looked great.
Diana looks stunning in that white dress.
Yeah, but then it just got more grunge and more grunge and more grunge before she asked to kind
I get that part because she's getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah, it was the evolution of her character.
I get that. But the spikes on the leather jacket, that's not 80s to me. I don't know. Her hair was wild. And then Natalie and I talked about this is like when she turned into Cheetah. Like, come on. This is too far.
Yeah. I mean, I
you're an actual creature.
What do we think about Kristen Wiig in general in this movie? Because I think that's probably the more important layer to this conversation. I'm kind of conflicted. When I first saw that she was in this, I have to admit, I was kind of confused because I just don't see her as a villain in a superhero movie. Yeah, it wasn't my thing. And I wasn't sure really how she was going to pull it off. I actually disagree with you. I think she looked great. I liked her look in this. I think that the look was perfectly tailored to the character.
It got to a certain point where then I started checking.
It wasn't
out
her
anymore. Character. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like I bought into it up until the point where she like confronts that guy. And
you mean when she meets the shit out of that guy in 1984?
Right. Yeah. And I loved that. And I loved her and her look all up until that point. And then it was kind of everything after that I was like, digging how where this is going now.
Okay, but what about her performance in itself?
Her performance. Because
Kristen Wiig to me is comedy. Like that's, unfortunately, that's where she's, you know, I guess carved her niche, if you will.
And in the beginning, she was Kristen Wiig. She brought her Kristen Wiigness, and it was very Ghostbusters in the beginning. Like you've done this before.
Interesting.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't mind her in this. I actually didn't mind her in this. And you know, I get my Jason Bateman ways, and she is very on the edge of that because she can't do any other voice but that voice and or that, you know, characteristic of her movements. Like she can't do anything else that I've seen in other things. I want her to do those things. I mean, I do enjoy her, but when she gets to do those things over and over again, I'm like, I can't see it. Like be something else. But I didn't mind her in this. I didn't mind her even when she was trying to be bad. I didn't buy it as much because I'm like, you're just not bad. Like you're not with this sweet, sweet little voice that you have. It's still not even like, you're still not being badass enough, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. She just wasn't badass enough.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it was for me too. She was good. She was in it.
Yeah.
She was good. She did kind of what she needed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she brought anything above and beyond to the character in a way that like will make her stand out in like the history of supervillains in movies. Right. And I think that when I don't know, I hate to compare it obviously to like the Joker because that's such a special.
Well, I was going to say I compare it to Catwoman.
Yeah, maybe even Catwoman.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I was going to say.
That is the performance that's like your, obviously this is exactly what that is. That's this version of it. You know, it's like, it's Cheetah's version of it. And it's like, Yeah, like Catwoman, that is a perfect example of when it's done well. And I
and
think
not Halle Berry Catwoman, sorry. Yeah, no.
But it's like her like mousy, insecure, yes, like nerdy kind of personality.
And then that, like, switch.
Yeah, the look of that, the evolution of her look, mm-hmm, and like vixen. Into like, mm-hmm, total vixen.
That's the perfect word.
Yeah. You know, and it's like you buy every second of it. And yeah. I stopped buying into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Totally. It also felt to me like the evolution, and obviously this is written this way, so it was intentional, but like the evolution of her character was so dragged out and so prolonged that by the time we actually get to like, it didn't feel different. Like there were so many different phases and layers to her evolution that it didn't, mm-hmm, feel like it was as drastic as like the Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer change. You know, like maybe if we had shortened that a bit, we could have had a more, I don't know, more revelatory moment, you know, when she, yeah, finally does become Cheetah. I don't know. I love Kristen Wiig. And so that is baked
hard,
in,
yeah,
my assessment of her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I like her. And so I'm not going to think that like, oh, she sucked in this, but I do think it would have been interesting if it was like an Emma Stone or if it's someone that was like maybe just a little more compelling of an actor,
yeah,
or like a more nuanced actor perhaps. It would have been really interesting to watch and maybe even, I don't know, more compelling.
I think Emma Stone would have been really interesting. I think, yeah, she would have been able to pull that off really
totally.
Well,
totally.
You know,
but and she's, to me, again, this is my thing. You can't cross everyone into different worlds. Like she's fucking goddamn Mary, what's her fucking from Spider-Man. Like you can't do that. I can't see the same people in other fucking movies.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Oh, I can't stand it.
That seems long ago.
It bothers me so much.
Bring what's his name? Tom Holland into this, into any superhero movie. I'll just pretend that he was never Spider-Man. I don't care. Let's just do it.
No.
I do want to say, speaking of casting, that I love when the vice principal from Love, Simon just randomly appears in a movie. That just makes me really happy. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but she literally like, she never has like a huge part in any movie.
She's
she pops in and she's like funny. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's great. It's a great little surprise moment.
I like when they do little surprise moments. And especially like these type of movies, like, you know, that's what I think I really liked about Captain Marvel. Marvel. Mm-hmm. Is when they did those little comedy bits of like, you know, yeah, when she was in the Blockbuster, or when it was like, it was, mm-hmm, just like it brings you like, it gives you a little bit of like heartwarmness to this like obviously fantastical movie that you're watching, you know, like, yeah, I think it's super cute.
So on that note, I want to stick to casting for a second, because I do want to say, I have a question. I mean this very sincerely. I need to know, how did the less attractive man become Chris Pine, and how do I make that happen on my next date? And if anybody has any tips for this, let me know.
Chris Pine has had way too much work done, and the man that he was before, it was way hotter than Chris Pine. I'm sorry.
I disagree strongly with Lena.
He looks like a cat man. He looks like the plastic surgery version of Catwoman. As a man,
I'm gonna do you a little better.
What happened to his face, guys?
Lena, I'm gonna do you better here. So, my joke was obviously Chris Pine. I in my brain, he exists in a much more attractive place than his face currently is.
Drive me crazy, maybe.
But in all seriousness, he is, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna do this to you, and it's gonna ruin it forever, and I apologize. But
to me.
Well, to anyone listening, maybe even Natalie, I don't know, but
he's
starting to look like Peter Gallagher with all of his plastic surgery, especially with those eyebrows.
I love Peter Gallagher.
Okay, well, there
you're
go.
Not saying anything there wrong.
You're not saying anything
I
bad.
Just...
I love Peter Gallagher.
I love Peter Gallagher. I just don't know how I feel about...
I would like him to look like Peter Gallagher, but he doesn't. He looks like a plastic surgery cat.
Go back and watch the eyebrows.
I love Chris Pine. I don't care what anybody says. I think he's beautiful. I think he's such a good fucking actor. I think he's really a good actor.
I enjoy him. I don't to look at him.
His little clothing montage was like
that was
the
so
most
cute.
Enjoyable part of the movie.
So cute.
Like, I enjoyed that so much. Really, especially when he put on that tank top. And I was like, those fucking arms. And then that the American issued fanny pack
killed me.
He is like, when like hot guys are being like silly and funny, that's just like my favorite combination of things. And I just think he has a great personality. And I think he could be a really like badass, tough guy and like gritty and also be funny at the same time. Like I just absolutely love
him. I think he's funny and funny looking. No offense, Chris Pine. I really don't mean to hurt your feelings. I am, maybe it's just I'm not attracted to you, but I think you're a great actor. And like, I trust me, I wasn't a Chris Pine fan. And then I watched Star Trek and I was like, okay, this guy is super funny and he's got a lot of character and a lot of personality. And I liked him ever since then. And then the war movie.
This Means War.
Oh, yeah. Such a good movie.
So, I love that movie.
I love it.
I'm going to stop you there for just a second.
And it's not because I find him attractive. I think he's so funny and cute. Like,
okay,
just
but his I'm going to tell you that I actually think that Star Trek for me, because that's when you brought that up, that's when it kind of clicked for me. That to me was like the pinnacle of his attractiveness.
That's when I was like, I like Chris Pine.
Yes.
Yeah, hell or high water. I've never seen him sexier.
Okay. Holy. Well, I don't find him attractive.
Holy shit. Okay. But you know what? This is fine. We don't need to argue about this, Lena, because when he shows up on our doorstep, I'll be like, she's not interested.
Exactly.
This is my bedroom.
With your weird slippers and stuff. Like, I just can't. I can't. But you know, that's to each
other. But like, she has zero interest.
Yeah, so. I have zero interest. I think he's a great actor and I enjoy watching him in movies. I'm just not attracted to him.
It won't be a fight when he gets here.
There's no fight.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we could solve that in this episode. I want to talk a little bit about something that I think was kind of fun in this movie. And I love when you're playing with parallel universes, you know, different times that people are jumping in and out of. But before I ask my question, I have a question. I guess like a part one of the question for you guys, because
a pre-question question,
if you will. So like I said, I watched the original and I understand that it takes place kind of in different time periods, but I was confused by the ending of that movie, because at the very end of the first one, it appears as if she is in present day with like the computers around her and whatever. And even like her look. And I also thought that the first one took place mostly during like World War I, World War II. I can't remember, but like a long time ago. So explain to me, how is she timeless? Is she a time traveler? Like, what's happening with Wonder Woman that we see her in, you know, basically not aging and then traveling through all these different periods of time?
Timeless.
Okay. And
I don't think she time hops.
She's that person forever. She's immortal.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you see like her mom and like all of that, I think they grow to a certain age and then they just keep going at that age and they don't, that's it.
Gotcha. Okay. So then my question for you guys, and this is like an observation / question. I just think that there's something really interesting. I love the contrast that of the things that would seem futuristic and interesting to someone that was coming from like the 30s, but then suddenly alive in the 80s, but not us today. Like, I thought that was really, I loved how they played with all of that, right? Because we would look at something from the 80s and be like, oh my God, think of how far we've come since then, right? And then, but they're looking at it from fresh eyes, you know, and it's like so different to them. I'm thinking specifically of like the Chris Pine character, right? With like the clothes and the Pop-Tarts and all the fun stuff that they kind of interjected. And I don't know. I thought that was something really, really cool about how they did that and made it seem almost like it was fresh to me as someone that had seen it before. Like, I was almost looking at it like through their eyes for the first time. What did you guys think of the whole 80s stuff?
I liked it. I felt like, obviously, like the chemistry between the two of them and where there's comic, you know, places for there to be comedy, I feel like it really only exists with the two of them. Once you get out of Kristen Wiig in the beginning, you know, like there's not a lot of moments for her to be funny later on. So I think that worked really, really well and was really fun. And I kind of wish it was sprinkled in throughout. It definitely kind of got lost, you know? And I think that there were moments of like where that could have been more fun. Where it's like, you know, where people are wishing for things and stuff, like there really could have been a lot more moments where we're
like really funny wishes.
Yeah. Where it's just like, I think that would have been really entertaining. And I think it was just kind of used for that moment. And then it was like, okay, we're moving on.
Yeah. I liked seeing him because we know that he's from a certain time and he comes back and he really is. And normally, like, you see people like in life when they go from like generation to generation, they're still alive. Like, they see the things that evolve. he didn't see anything evolve. He just like was right put into it. And he's like, what the fuck is all this shit? Like, it's, I think it's really funny. And I wish they would have like sprinkled more of that into that, because I mean, first of all, I'm very happy that they brought it to the 80s, because I'm like, who doesn't love the 80s and loves to see things from the 80s? And it's just, I wanted to see more of it. You know, I wanted it to be like throughout, like, you know, with the wishes or like in the scenery, like just a lot of things I wanted to like see more of it. Like I needed to see more scrunchies and hair, like
well, hair that's straight like up, you know, Kristen Wiig's outfit to go to the gym. I was like, we were laughing and like joking about like how like people would only really wear those to like aerobics classes, but I loved seeing that. That was fun, you know. And then again, we only got little sprinkles of that, you know, through the rest of the movie.
I mean, I have that same critique, because and that's part of the reason I asked you this question, is because it was leading to my kind of assessment of things, where it felt like somewhere in like the production, they were like, oh, we forgot that this movie is set in 1984. And so exactly. You have to like infuse this stuff, you know, throughout the rest of the movie. And because there were such concentrated areas of it, right? Again, like the mall, like that scene is obviously so intentional to recreate 1984.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have like the scene in the gym and whatever, but it's just, it didn't feel like it was peppered in enough throughout the rest of the movie. I mean, you have like
when you're walking around and stuff, like you just don't really
see when they went to the party, even like, she's wearing this outfit, her hair looks like crap, but like, where's everyone else's like fun 80s outfits? They're all like in really fancy dresses. It's like, no, people were dressing like crazy.
Well, I think more of the crazy though was later in the 80s. Like I think that like the MC Hammer pants and the neon, that stuff was more, I think, like 86 to 1990-ish.
I know, but that's very close. That's like 84, 85, 86. It's like
lean into it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, you got to go for it. I want to see more neon. I wanted to see more acid washed. Like, come on.
No, I agree. Totally agree.
High tops, anything.
I also thought, just to transition to a little more serious note, I thought that it was really interesting. I appreciated the commentary on like greed and suffering. And I really liked and kind of appreciated like the way that there was, that's kind of like the message. And I think that's kind of Wonder Woman's overall message too, right? Mm-hmm. She wants to just do good in the world. That's kind of her like grand objective. But like, I thought that, speaking of timelessness, it just felt like this movie is about 1984 and it's about this timeless character, but like these are themes that like we're literally experiencing right now in 2020, in December 2020 even, right? Going into 21. And so I don't know, like I just thought that to me was like kind of tied everything up in a nice little bow, because it felt to me like this is a movie that has a purpose. And again, I am not a huge comic book fan. I don't think any of us really are. We appreciate, you know, the movies that come of it, but we're not like diehard comic book fans. But what I know about comics and what I, you know, when I talk to people who are really into it, they're always like, Wonder Woman is like such a hero to people that love this character because of what she represents and because of who, you know, she is and who she's always been, like at her moral center. And I don't know, I think that for this movie to come out like on Christmas Day at a time when we're so polarized as not just, you know, a country, but, you know, the world. I don't know. I really appreciated, you know, that message. And to be the message that I took away from it, especially at the end when everyone has to kind of like renounce their wish, as it were, right, is to just be more selfless. And I don't know, I think that that really left me feeling like hopeful.
Well, I think truth is an everlasting message. So it doesn't matter what year or what time you're in, like to be able to be true to yourself, true to others, that should last throughout years and years and years. That should be something that people, you know, want to like have in their lives. Like it's something that anybody can relate to, is being truthful.
Agreed.
And I agree. I think the messaging, you know, that it's like sometimes people think that like being selfish to have something for themselves is harmless to others, and then you're kind of seeing the like impact it has on society and the world as people are kind of getting these wishes granted throughout. Like it seems like, oh, these are, you know, harmless to other people if I'm getting what I want. And it just kind of seeing how that just escalated so quickly, it's like, okay, like I like that, where it just, you know,
And I think the other point of that is too, is, you know, thinking that, oh, all of these things are going to make me happy. Yeah. And getting all these things are going to make me happy. And it only makes you like less happy and less connected and mm-hmm. more angry and, you know, less of the true person who you are. Like that stuff doesn't actually matter, you know, like what really matters to you, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then I have a question. Did Cheetah renounce her wish?
By force.
I don't think she did. They never cut to her and her say that she does.
So what was that scene though, where they're underwater and she like electrocutes her because she won't renounce the wish? I thought that she was dead in that scene, but then you see her again.
No, she's back to life. And there's another scene after that where she's sitting by herself, almost like crying in the rain or something.
But mm-hmm. and that's where I thought they were going to have her say it and she doesn't say anything.
She doesn't say it. But does she think it? I don't know.
So then what was the purpose of that scene, if not to kill her off or to... Did she strip her of her powers in that scene? That's kind of the impression that I got. Like she was, if you're not going to renounce it, I'm going to do it for you. And so then I'm going to take away your powers. That's kind of how I interpreted that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I have no idea.
This is why I don't like to venture too far into like the psychoanalyzation of the comic book, because I'm sure there's like a nuanced layer there that I don't necessarily get. So.
Yeah. I don't understand. And it's like, again, kind of having both bad guys just like kind of walk away seems a little weird. And like that neither of them die, you know, that felt a little strange to me that it just like, okay, like go back to your son and hopefully don't do this again. Like, yeah. I don't, it just it's felt like a little bit. Yeah. It felt a little weird that, you know, everybody renounces their wish.
After he like hijacks the airwaves.
Yeah. Like you're hearing everybody else that have had all of these significant impacts renounce their wish, but you're not having her. And it's like, why is she coming back in the third? Because we don't need that for sure. You know?
No.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was confused by the fact that we saw her again, because I thought that she was like dead and gone after that scene mm-hmm. where she was electrocuted. That was kind of my like, okay, goodbye, Kristen Wiig's character. It's been real.
Yeah. And I'm kind of wondering like trickle effect of like, she got those powers because everybody else made their wishes on the like television channel. And that's when she turned into Cheetah. So then those people renounced their wishes. So then she was back to the first version of her wish, which was to be like Diana. So she was back to that. So she was no longer Cheetah, but it's like, do you still have Diana's powers? Because you did not renounce that wish, you know, and that was directly on the stone. So it's, you didn't get that from other people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and watch that last part again to like be clear about what I feel about that. Cause I don't know.
I
feel like if she doesn't come back for the third, that's kind of a big like
weird thing.
Story point of like, did you forget to do that? Yeah. It just seems a little weird.
You forget to kill her off all the way. Does she have 9 lives? Is she coming back?
Yeah. And it's like, and so she's just at this place and she's just like, gets to, okay, guys, I'll go home.
I mean, I'd be fine if they just killed her off and didn't bring her back. It's fine for me.
Well, I was fine if she was being electrocuted in the water. Yeah. Like you have your opportunity to do good.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. And then you shock her and let her drown, you know, but then mm-hmm. she takes her out and it's like, oh, she didn't die. Also, how did you not get electrocuted? Or I don't understand what's happening.
Died.
I don't understand the science. I don't understand the science.
It's comic book science.
I was going to say, we don't have a degree. We shouldn't venture too far into this because some comic book enthusiast is going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
We're figuring it out.
Are we trying to learn? I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I'm not really that interested in learning. I'm like, I'm curious to know about it, but I'm not going to.
I don't like if after
pretty
this,
much if you guys don't. About it again. Yeah, if you guys don't have the answers, then I'm not really search them.
Then we're done with it.
Yeah, sorry, I know we're pissing off so many people. Apologies. So I have a question and I think we should wrap this up.
Okay.
My answer to the question is no, but I know that we all like to repeat movies and sometimes get, you know, more out of it the second time. Is this a movie that you think you're going to want to watch again?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, have you already watched it again?
No.
Okay.
I just watched it last night, so
maybe I'd watch it again once, okay. But I don't I think I've rewatched Wonder Woman one other time, but I don't really have, I haven't ever had a desire to see, and I liked that more, except for all the slow-mo fighting scenes. I just,
So you liked the first one more?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I loved the first one.
Because again, that one scene in the battlefield,
oh, man,
really
emotional,
really wins a lot of, you know, points. Praise for me. Like, mm-hmm, it just really, that was amazing. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things wrong with the movie that I did not like that I wish they would have done differently. Mm-hmm. But that one scene kind of just makes it feel, I kind of give it a pass. And there
it makes it feel like a movie. It makes it feel like what you go to like the theaters to like feel, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I didn't feel it in this one.
Yeah, I didn't feel it in this one. I actually didn't feel it in the first one. I don't love this world. I don't want to say universe because the universe is bigger than this movie, I think, but I just, I appreciate it. And I think that there's like, I know that the fans are super diehard, and I mean, no disrespect to anybody that like, you know, takes something really powerful away from this movie, because I've obviously had experiences in movies that people didn't, you know, resonate or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, this, I don't love this world. I don't feel super connected to these characters. I don't care about these characters too much. They don't empower me to care about them from my perspective. So yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
And I feel like the other thing too is like, yes, it was like pretty impactful in this movie, but like I mourned the loss of Steve. Like that was like in the first movie, like when he dies in the plane, and like the emotions between the two of them as
being a selfless person.
Yeah. Like, and just her knowing that this is just like what's happening and her heart is breaking. Like that was very emotional. Like I hated the bad guy ending and the fights and all that kind of, I didn't enjoy those moments of it, but that ending. And it's like, so I've already mourned the loss of this relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I know going into this, they're not going to let her keep him. Like, this isn't going to be the, she doesn't get to do this. So that was more, much more of a moment and much more of an emotional loss in the first one than it was in this one, because it's like, you kind of know this is just like a temporary, you know, emotional fix where it's like, yeah, they get to spend this extra time together, which is awesome, but you know, it's got an expiration date on it. Like, and I feel like her acting, she sold it and he sold it the best that they possibly could. Like they really, like when she was walking away from him, it still was very impactful, but very just painful. Not as much as, I didn't feel as much as I did in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of felt with that whole subplot that it felt like cheating. It felt very much like on a soap opera when someone's died like five times and they keep coming back to life because the character signs their contract again or something. And it's like, obviously he was such an integral part of the first one that they needed to find a way to fit him into this one. And I understand that like logistically, but I think from a story perspective, I'm kind of with you, Natalie. Like I had just seen the first one, right? And I was like, you mourn his loss with her. And that's like a very emotional moment. And then to see him come back again, you're like, well, what? No, that's not fair. Like, that's not how life works. Like, and then you just feel that like, okay, so this whole thing then is just like over the top fantastical and we have to just, you know, whatever. I don't know. Not to say that it didn't change my perspective on the film overall. I still, you know, have a general appreciation for this one. I don't know. It always feels like cheating to me when they bring somebody back from the dead.
Yeah.
In any universe.
But I think this was the most interesting way to do it.
And yeah, totally.
It fit within the storyline of exactly everybody making their wish and this would be her wish. So it didn't feel like it was not fitting. It felt very fitting. Yeah. And that's exactly what her wish would have been, you know? And that's again where I would have felt like this would have been nice to see how she's been alone and lonely and missing him for the past 50 years in the beginning, instead of going back to her childhood. Like that to me would have made that reunion more impactful, because that is the, like, I feel like the most emotional weighted part of the story, you know, at least for me.
on that note, I just want to say that, like, I think it is so rude when you're eating alone and they come to take the plate away and they ask if you're dining alone and you say yes, and then you watch them take the stuff from the table. Don't do that.
Just leave it on the table.
On the table. It's so rude. It's
what
so
if I
rude.
Want to use that plate for my mushrooms that you're going right? to put in my stupid food?
Totally agree. There's
like,
no worse.
Get out of here, man.
There's no worse feeling in a movie as far as I'm concerned. All right. Should we score this one?
Let's do it.
All right, Lena.
All right. I'm teetering between 2 and 3 on this one. And I know we don't do halves.
This feels fitting for a half, though.
Yeah, it does feel fitting for a half because I really do enjoy Gal. I think she's fantastic as Wonder Woman. I like where they're possibly going with this. Hopefully they don't disappoint in the next one if they're making a next one, which I'm sure they will. So I have to tip it to 2. Like, I did enjoy it. It's not perfect, but no. I would watch it again.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think so. My score is, I have a very special twist to my score because my score is, I'm giving it a score because it came out in 2020. If this had come out in any other time prior to 2020, I probably would have given it a 3 because I would have been a little more critical. Mm-hmm. But because I'm so hungry for cinematography, production value, like all this big blockbuster, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that this is, you know, I mean, I know the movie wasn't made with this intention, but it is the first release on HBO Max. And it is kind of like this new territory that we're going to be in for the foreseeable future where we get, you know, to watch something at home day and date with its theatrical release. And I think that there's something really special about that. And I felt while I was watching this, that like on Christmas morning, that this is like a special thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so because of that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. I think
my
that's
2020
great.
Score.
I think it's great. I think it's great to give it a 2020 score. I'm not going to. It is a 3.
But 3 is not bad.
It's not bad. I didn't hate it by any means, but it just like, and I think surprisingly enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to enjoy it. And I think my expectations have been so low because of 2020 that it was like, oh, I actually like enjoyed this movie. But then when I started thinking about some of the details and choices and stuff like that, I was like, oh, okay. It wasn't exactly what I would have wanted it to have been. But, and again, my just feelings about regurgitation of sequels and what they feel like they have to like paint by numbers of what the first one was because it was successful. It just drives me crazy. Like, just be original, do a new story, you know?
That's fair. Most important question. How did this look on your new TV?
Great.
Did it?
And it sounded, I think it sounded better. Like, it was a more enjoyable experience than Tenet. I actually enjoyed it much more.
I agree. Sound wise. For sure.
Yeah.
Sound wise, for sure.
The sound design was much more like thoughtful. Yeah. If you will, as opposed to Tenet, which is like way too dynamic for me. But as always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers. Bye.